Glory to God. Well, we're looking at healing is God's will. Proverbs chapter 4 again. Proverbs chapter 4, healing is God's will for us. Somebody says, why do we keep repeating certain truths? It's because we have an admonition in the scriptures to always repeat. Before you go to Proverbs chapter 4, look at Philippians and chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I read from verse 1. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 1. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, for me to write the same things to you, okay, to me it is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Amplified says, for the rest, my brethren, delight yourselves in the Lord and continue to rejoice in him. To keep writing to you over and over of the same things is not irksome to me, and it is a precaution for your what? Safety. Second Peter in chapter 3. Somebody will say, Pastor, you said that last week. So why are you saying it again? It's an admonition in the scriptures, because the way God designed man to function is such that truths register under the principle of repetition. Truths register by the principle of repetition. Second Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. Peter is writing. He says, the second epistle, beloved, and I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. So you notice, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. In other words, the truths I walk in are the truths I'm able to remember. That's what it means. It's the truths I remember that I walk in. And that's why a good Bible student never says, I've heard that before. You don't hear God's word before. You keep hearing God's word. So there's no such thing as I've heard God's word before. If you hear an admonition about prayer today, it means you are meant to pray more. If you hear an admonition about winning souls today, it means you have to devote yourself to winning souls more. If you had an admonition about giving today, you devote yourself to what giving more. So we keep hearing because there's a tendency to forget. There's a tendency to forget. So we're going over God's word again. We're looking at healing. Healing is God's will for us. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, I read from verse 20. My son, attend to my words. It says, incline your ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, the writer of Proverbs is showing us the principle by which men discover the reality of God's word. So, my son, attend to my words. I mean, incline your ear to my sayings. So, we know God's words are his sayings. God's word are his sayings. So, the way I incline my ear is that I give the word of God a voice for my ear to pick it up. And the one I give a voice to, and my ear picks it up. So, in my mouth, there's sound. And then in my heart, there's sight. Let me say it again. In my mouth, there is sound that filters to my ear. My ear, therefore, feeds into my heart, where I see what is said in pictures or images. So, I take God's word on my lips. My son, attend to my words, which is mostly the written word. Then incline your ear. So I give God's word voice so that I can hear it. I'm inclining my ear to his sayings. He says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Let them not depart from your eyes. So it will become vision or images will form on the inside of me. For they are life unto those that find them, and what? Health to all their flesh. The interesting thing about the word ear is the fact that it doesn't necessarily say when you hear God's word concerning healing, to be healed. It's telling you God's word is medicine. That's the word health there. It's medicine to all your flesh. So in other words, it's not necessarily that what you're hearing is a message that focuses on health. And we're going to see that through the scriptures. Is that as long as you are hearing God's word, any aspect of God's word will have the same effect. That means God is so full of healing, and God is so much of a healing God, that if you hear God's word and it's processed in your heart, it will manifest as health in your body. It says medicine to all their flesh. Hallelujah. Medicine to all their flesh. So, in the last 2 weeks or so, we looked at Acts and chapter 10. And let's go back to Acts chapter 10, because Acts chapter 10 gives us a slight understanding about what we saw Jesus do in the four Gospels. Now, before you go to Acts chapter 10, look at Acts chapter 2. And let's look at Peter's message as he confronted the Jews about the person of Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 2. I read from verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words: Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be worth holding by it. Look at that verse 22 again. You men of Israel, Amplified says, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited and pointed out and shown forth and commended. Okay, so he uses those strong words and commended this same Jesus. That's verse 22 now. Look at verse 22, please. Okay, it says, a man accredited and pointed out and shown forth and commended and attested to by the mighty works and the power of performing wonders and signs, which God worked through him right in your midst, as you yourselves what? No. Now, go to Acts now. Acts chapter 10. Okay, from here now, let's just stay with the King James. And let's read from verse 34. Peter's opening statement is extremely important to what we're looking at. Now, Peter opened on and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of what? Persons. He's about to describe God's power. That is so important. Remember, this is Peter at Cornelius' household. Now, we said something earlier. God's word saves. God's word heals. It doesn't have to be that you're teaching about healing. It's just the nature of the word of God. In other words, God's word and his nature and the same. If God heals, it's because his word heals. And his word heals because God himself is what? A healer. That's important. Now, so salvation itself is a form of healing. That's important. Salvation itself is a form of healing. We're going to look at that as we go on. So Peter is in the house of Cornelius. Peter has a bias, the bias of the law that all the Jews have. Peter has been appealed to by the Spirit of God through the ministry of an angel to take the message of the gospel to the Gentiles through the house of Cornelius. So Peter, the first thing he notices or he says, Peter, why are you here? I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's why I'm here. So listen carefully. Many times when the power of God doesn't work in a man's life, it's because there's a slant or a bias in a man's heart. Does God want to save the Gentiles? Yes. Was God able to save until Peter came on the scene? No. So God's willingness to save could not find expression until there was a man ready to be a conduit of that salvation. That's important. I want you to see how the bias in a man's mind can be a limitation to God's power. So to speak, God's inability to save should not be seen as a mark of his unwillingness to save. No, there was a willingness. That willingness could only be hindered by men who are biased. In this case, it was Peter. So all the experiences Peter went through was to, so to speak, persuade Peter about God's willingness and God's readiness to save. So Peter started by saying, I perceive. So I've come to realize. So Peter is saying, I'm now persuaded that God is no respecter of persons. The day Peter became persuaded is not the day God became that way. That was the day Peter became that way. Hallelujah. You know, that's the same principle when it comes to all the truths of the scripture. The day you heard, the day you were persuaded, it's not the day God said it. It's not the day God made provision. That's the day you were ready to receive it because you were persuaded. That persuasion in the heart is what Proverbs chapter 4 is described. You are to attend the arguments on the inside of you. The experiences you may have had have become arguments, and God now wants you to feed upon his word until all those persuasions and all those high things come down under the onslaught of God's word. Can you see that now? So he says, I perceive God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, notice that, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. Notice, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, he mentioned the earthly details of Jesus for a reason. God didn't anoint Jesus Christ. It was the anointing that made him Christ. So, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, that is a man. God anointed a man. So, God is showing himself in a man and through a man to other men to communicate one thing, that his power is to do good and that God considers healing men a way of doing good. Let me say that again. That his power is for doing good and that God considers healing men as a proof of his goodness. Remember where we're coming from? The word that God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. So we said last week that many times there are enmities in the hearts of men when it comes to experiences. Why did so and so person die? We prayed, we fasted, we trusted God. The person still died. Then next thing, God did not heal the person. Now, people don't know why what happened, why it happened, but they need answers. Now, the experiences we're going to have upon the earth, that we may not necessarily have an immediate answer, but it doesn't change the integrity of God's word. It doesn't. God is no respecter of persons. In every nation, everyone that feareth him and walketh righteousness, in this case, that will be faith. is accepted by him. The word which God sent. So why did God send the word now? When you hear God sent the word, put your hand in that Acts chapter 10. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew 4, 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and what? Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among people. Emphasis on all manner of sickness, all manner of what? Disease. But where did this start? Teaching, preaching. So to teach means explain. What was Jesus teaching? Remember where the message started from. Look at verse 18. Just follow. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 of chapter 4. And Jesus walking, and that's what I'm looking for. Let's look at Luke 4. Luke 4, please. We'll come back to Matthew. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of God's favor. That's the day of salvation. Amen. Now notice the criteria. The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, those who are bruised, are all talking about the same set of people. That's a description of the lost, of those who are lost, those who are not in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So notice, the Spirit is upon me. And look at verse 16, please. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where I had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Notice the custom. He will go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That was a custom. That means this was the first thing Jesus did every time. It was a Sabbath day and it was in any particular locality. He will go into the synagogue, then he will stand up for to read. Now, in those days, everybody sat down. And then whoever is leading the meeting, if you want to read any passage of scripture, you will stand up to signify that you want to read and they will give you the book. Now, he found the place where it was written. It means he knows exactly where he's going. That means he was familiar with the scriptures. So when we began to say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, he was reading from Isaiah chapter 1, 61. And he picked the verses deliberately. And then he told them, this day is the scripture fulfilled where? In your hair, or I am the fulfillment of this scripture. That's important. Now, Matthew 4 again. Look at Matthew 4 now. And verse 23. Remember where we're coming from. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. How did God send the word? The Bible says Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner. All manner. So, all manner will mean, listen carefully, God's power has no respect for the kind of sickness or disease present. The same power that we heal cancer, we dematerialize fibroid, we heal HIV, we destroy malaria, the same power. What was it doing? Teaching, preaching, healing. Why did it start with teaching? Well, we have an idea of Jesus' teaching ministry. Always and beginning at Moses and all the prophets and the Psalms. So in Jesus' teaching ministry, what was he trying to do? The word that God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace. What does it mean to preach peace? It means to announce to them there's no warfare with respect to man and God. The warfare is accomplished over. I am the proof that God is not angry with men. Hallelujah. It was preaching peace. How was it preaching peace? It will begin from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. That's what it was doing. So why was he doing that? In order that they may receive the healing that God had in mind for them. Hallelujah. Remember to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, listen, go back to that verse 18 of Luke chapter 4. I want to ask you a question. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Did Jesus preach the gospel to the poor? He has sent me to heal the broken hearted, to bring deliverance to the captive. Recovering our sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them at bruise. Is this a description of those who are lost? Now, did that happen when he was physically upon the earth or when he rose from the dead? Thank you. So, when he was preaching and teaching and healing, what was he pointing to? The fulfillment of the scriptures. The brokenhearted, the healing for the brokenhearted is the resurrection of Jesus. The recovering of sight to the blind is the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. The preaching the gospel to the poor. Who are those who are poor? Those who are poor in spirit. Those who are bereft of the Spirit of God. That means they are not saved. So all this was accomplished in the resurrection, but in the earthly ministry of Jesus, he taught, he preached, and he healed to point the attention to the greater work he would do in the resurrection. But listen carefully. Before Jesus came and after he rose, healing was and is still God's will and will forever be. So healing all manner of sickness, that this means that God's power has no respect. Listen carefully. It is men who not only categorize, it is men who almost deify or magnify one health issue above the other. It's men. It's men who do so. Yeah, I know it's very interesting. Even in the medical world, it has been proven that over time, that after a while, man seems to always find a solution to whatever was once a plague. COVID came, it has gone. Even if it's lingering around, we have conquered it, yes or no? Now, before COVID, there was another one. Sorry? Ebola. And it was so fear. Now, the fear was not even the disease. It was what men said about it. Now, as they are saying about it, they were using the same mechanism God's word uses to arrest the attention of men. So the fear would have killed people before the disease even comes, the way they were spreading it. Don't think about it. That's what was happening. So the same way God's word seeks to dominate the heart of men, such that images that are in your consciousness, somebody sits beside you, please, I don't want to catch cold. Why can't you catch health and catch oldness and catch soundness? And tell yourself, my bones are just getting stronger. Blood is flowing freely through my veins. My heart is pumping better now. My kidney is working fine. There's vitality in my spleen and my liver. My lungs are free. Why can't you keep saying that? Why are you always saying that? I don't want to catch flow. There's flow all around. No, there's health all around. There's oldness all around. There's soundness all around wherever I look. Because you choose what you catch. Why did you dodge a person sneezing? You believe that if they sneeze your direction, you catch something. But here's the problem. You have caught many things and nobody sneezed where you were. You still caught it. So why don't you be deliberate about what you catch? Since God's word is hell to all your flesh. And the more you make yourself hear, is what you want to catch that you make yourself to hear. You make your ear hear what you want to catch. Now, it means health is available. Vitality is available. Strength is available. Oldness is what? Available. By the words of your mouth. It is. So the teaching, preaching ministry of Jesus was to plow the hearts of men so that when the power of God comes, there will be no resistance on the side of men concerning reception. So again, remember, resistance to God's power was first demonstrated by Peter's refusal to accept God wants to save the Gentiles. Meanwhile, the power to save was always present. Cornelius couldn't be saved. Gentiles couldn't be saved until a man yielded and was persuaded. And his own persuasion, his own obedience led to many other people getting saved. But notice where Peter began. In his own repentance, he realized the word that God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. What's that word? That word again, I say, which began from Galilee. I was preached all through. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, that is with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In other words, God is on the side of healing always. God is on the side of healing always. So if God was doing good, healing, you cannot call the same God or judge him or accuse him of putting sickness. No. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power. So God, when he became a man, demonstrated God's character in what he did to sickness. Everywhere he went, sicknesses were dematerialized. Diseases were cast out of people. That's God's nature. So how can you accuse the same God of putting sickness and disease upon men? Has sickness and disease come upon men in the Old Testament? Yes. Did God put it? No. Why? He's a healing God. And he's not a two-faced God. God works in a single lane. Hallelujah. He said that he's a healer or he's not. Then Jesus said something very important, or Jesus demonstrated something very important. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now listen carefully. Once you understand that, do we have scriptures that appear to be as though God was accused of putting sickness? Yes. Notice what I said. It appears as though God was accused the way it was written. But then again, it is proper study of scripture that lets you know when it is written in permissive tense and when it's written in what the causative tense. Permissive simply means God allowed something to happen. Doesn't mean God brought it. There are two different things. Listen carefully. I think when we're looking at kingdom realities, one of the things we looked at was the fact that all the drama you see played out in Egypt, all the drama, you notice that Hebrews chapter 11 speaks about, now faith is the substance of things what hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained a good. So to obtain means they gave a good testimony in their lifetime. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen do not come from things which do what? So in each of the dispensation of the elders, they had experiences that were framed by their interaction with God. Do you understand that? So Noah's dispensation is not the same as Enoch's dispensation. It's framed from Abraham's dispensation. I hope you understand what that means now. So in their dispensation, they had experiences and each of them gave a good testimony in their age. Now listen carefully. That is the subject matter of Hebrews 11. By faith, through faith, now faith. That's what matter. That was why when you Bible speaks about Moses, none of the afflictions that came upon Egypt was mentioned as an act of faith. And this is why they were acts of judgment against the gods of Egypt. Do you understand? So it wasn't mentioned as an act of faith. It was deliberately omitted because they belong in a different category. If you understand, let me see your hand. You don't understand. Okay. That's why you need to raise your hand. Okay, so let's say that again. Okay, those acts, how many plagues, if you remember from your book of Bible stories? 10. All right. One of the most defining ones among those plagues, for instance, is the killing of the firstborn, isn't it? Now, here's the mystery about the killing of the firstborn. Do you know the Bible speaks about an angel of death? That's how he was described in Exodus. The same Exodus chapter 12, chapter 10, chapter 14 will tell you there was a plague. So he personifies it as an angel of death. He also calls it a plague. Do you understand so far? You have to read. Are they mixing it up? No, they're not mixing it up. It was a plague. Now, listen carefully. They were told to do something to symbolize salvation. What they did was not salvation. It was an act of faith. That means anybody who was close to them, who did what they did, will have been exempted. Listen carefully. If God is one bringing it, there's no need to give anybody exemption. You can't bring and exempt at the same time. It has to be that it is coming. Then this is the exemption. When I see the blood, I will pass over means I will cover. Doesn't mean I will skip. You see, that's the problem with English and Hebrew. When you hear pass over, it means that, I've been killing them and knocking them dead. One, two. When I see there's blood, I won't knock you. No. So something is coming to knock people down. How will pass over means I'll be the shield. I will shield you from the attack of the enemy. That's the angel of death, if you understand what I'm saying. So Passover doesn't mean, you see, in English, you say, I will skip over you. I will go to the next person. No, our Passover means I will be the covering. And because, listen carefully, God is no respecter of persons. All you need to do is slaughter an animal, take the blood as a sign of faith, put it on your lintel, and the same covering will be over you. Listen carefully. Thus saith the Lord. Moses' message. Let my people go that they may worship me. So to tell Pharaoh, let my people worship me means that Moses is preaching the gospel. There is a God beyond the gods of Egypt that is mightier. Who will demonstrate his might. The first sign did not destroy anyone. The first sign was to demonstrate the might of the God that sent Moses. How did he demonstrate? His rod became a snake, and the snake swallowed all other snakes, and it became a rod again without changing size. Nobody died. What was God doing? Passing judgment upon all the gods of Egypt. Let my people go that they may worship me. All Pharaoh needed to do is not just let people go. We'll go with you. Hallelujah. So what that story depicted is God giving Pharaoh a chance. First time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. What's the Bible preaching? The long suffering of God. That judgment suddenly doesn't just suddenly come. It takes time. Hallelujah. It takes time. The Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. He did. He hardened his heart. So there are scriptures that seem to suppose. See, if you read those scriptures, you don't understand them. It would be as though God is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. How many of you know what that's character? Okay. God is kind and dangerous. They don't go together. God is merciful but vengeful. That's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's two personalities. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures for how long? Forever. So more often than not, what people call the anger and wrath of God is God allowing men to have their choices. You made a choice. I appeal to you. You refuse. I let you have your way. They say, God came to punish me. No. God warned Adam. In the day you eat, you shall surely die. Did God put him foot in his mouth? Figure of speech now. Did God make him do it? No. He chose. Did he suffer consequences? Consequences came. So that's what you call the wrath of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now listen carefully. Jesus, who is the representation of God, the full expression of God, now said, and God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost power, who went about doing good and healing. So the good was to heal. So God sees healing as God's goodness manifest among men. All, that's the next word. He healed all. That means no discrimination. All that were oppressed. So he called sickness demonic oppression. It means it must never be attributed to God. What kind of power? Power to do good. What was the good? To dematerialize every sickness, to suspend every disease. That was the power. That was the power that God gave. That was the power that God gave into expression. And it was to advertise something greater, that the same God that heals will save. So we say it this way, saving of the soul. It's a pointer to healing of the body. Or the healing of the body is a pointer to saving of the soul. In other words, what the word of God does in our body is exactly what God would have done in our spirits today. Hallelujah. Why? God is a healing God. God is a healing God. Hallelujah. He heals. He's full of healing. And so look at Mark chapter 5. And let's look at some principles. Say with me, healing is God's will for me. God wants me to abound in health at all times. All right. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by sheep unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better but rather grievous, when she had heard of Jesus. If you miss that verse, you missed the whole story. If you miss that verse, you missed the whole story. What did she hear? The message that was preached throughout Galilee and all Judea. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. What was Peter telling the house of Cornelius? God is no respecter of persons. So when God anointed Jesus and Jesus representing God, what was Jesus doing? Healing all to show God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. So see what it says now. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. So whatever the woman had something to do with the anointing Jesus carried and with the hem of his garment being a communicator of that power of that same anointing. Remember how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, that is with power. So there was a power Jesus was anointed with, and that power was stored in the garment that he wore. So if I look at the extent which God went, the power was so much it was even stored in the garment that Jesus wore. Now look at the next thing that happened. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And what was ridiculous to Peter and the others about that question is Jesus mentioned clothes. And the Bible says a multitude was in that place. They thronged him. To throng means they were jostling, they were pushing, some were trying to get close to Jesus. A multitude is at least 3,000 people. So if you're going to say anything about people being there, you don't say, who touched my clothes? At least the closest, you can say, who is pushing me? As close as you can see. So the writer, Mark, is deliberately giving us details to let us see certain things that Jesus wants us to understand, because there were two people Jesus was educating. Jesus was about to educate Jairus and educate his apostles at the same time. So Jesus said, who touched my clothes? And look at the next verse. The disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and seest thou who touched me? Jesus didn't say who touched me, he said who touched my clothes. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now listen, something was done in her. The Bible says immediately she felt in her body that she was whole of that plague. A plague of 12 years. Listen. Multitude was there. So the presence of people does not determine the availability of God's power in this instance. There was a multitude. It was not an orderly place. There was a lot of noise going on. A lot of jostling was going on. There was seemingly chaos. In the midst of the chaos, there was an image in that woman's heart. Where did the image come from? If I remember, touch the hem of his garment. How did the image come into her heart? She had heard. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 had been played out on the inside of her. Remember, this woman was not born again. No, she wasn't born again. It was just a Jew. So you could say to her, it was written, my daughter, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. For their life unto those that find them. And hell to all their. Don't believe that everybody that was in that place was well. This was the only recorded person that received. And Bible says she received because she had heard. Then she did something with what she had. For she also said and kept saying, if he may touch but the hem of his garment. So in her own case, unlike Jairus that said, I believe you will come and lay your hands on my daughter, she shall live. Because she's close to death. But this woman did not need Jesus to lay hands. This woman said, if I touch the hem. So how freely available, already available God's power, whether it touches you or you touch him, the power flow. It's just a function of the condition of your heart and how prepared your heart is. So God sending his word is to create freedom in the hearts of men about his willingness to heal. Let me say it this way. To persuade men about God's willingness is the most important part of receiving healing. Hardly will you find anyone who needs to persuade about God's power or God's ability to heal. Now, ask the average person who doesn't even know God. Can God do anything? Yes, he's God. So humans believe their concept of God is somebody who can do anything. And because they don't know which God they are describing, most times the enemy comes in and blindfolds people's minds and tells them, yes, God can do anything, can give you sickness too. He can destroy any time. So he hears sayings like, we don't know what God was using that death for, and gradually, your understanding of God is being attacked without you even knowing. So they are telling you that God permits some things to happen for his glory. But Jesus came to correct that. So some things will happen to people who say, well, God will get the glory. From what? From something that's completely contrary to his will. No, somebody died prematurely. Now, it's better for you to say, I don't know what happened, than for you to say that God must have used for something. No, no. You know, it's very interesting that Satan can pass such thoughts. Now, you now understand why Jesus went about teaching and preaching. Do you know in John's Gospel chapter 3 when Nicodemus came by night? One of the things he said about Jesus was that, we know you are a teacher that comes from God, for no man can do. But the emphasis was, you are a teacher that came from God. That means from the days we've been hearing you teach from the law of Moses and the prophets, nobody has given the kind of explanation you have given. And you back up the explanation with power. So the power is not your definition really. It is the way you teach and you match with the power that we have seen a difference. Because you are not the first person to demonstrate power. But you are the first person to teach the way you teach and then you back with the power. Why? It went about teaching, preaching and healing. That's power. So the teaching was first. To explain. The preaching is to announce what has been explained. Since I've taught you this is who God is, this is how God is, I'm announcing to you now that because God is this way, his power is present to confirm it so that you can freely receive. In fact, I usually say it this way. He went about healing all. It means it wasn't located in one place. How freely or how rarely did God want to heal? Jesus had to go about. He couldn't stay in one place. So he didn't have a healing center in Oshobo. No. He went about. What was he doing? Looking for. And as he was looking, he was teaching and he was preaching. So because the word goes to water the ground and to prepare the heart so that every enmity and misconception people have about God. Now, Jairus came and spoke words based on what he knew. I have to beg him. Jairus beseeched him. This other woman did not beg God. That was why it was called. She didn't beg. She didn't formally ask Jesus for permission. There was no doubt in her heart if Jesus was willing. She knew he was willing. She already knew. So she was already persuaded. How do we know she was persuaded? You know, when she felt in her body and she was about to leave quietly, but Jesus perceived that virtue, power had left him. And he turned around to see who had done this. For the woman fearing, trembling, another thing I want you to notice. How much was that power enough to heal? For the person to feel trivial affliction, go immediately. You know, there's gradual getting better. There's getting better immediately. And getting better immediately shows how much power must have entered and nobody in the crowd knew. How many says, Pastor, how do you know? She didn't even fall down with her power. You know, if you are charismatic like us now, somebody doesn't fall, say, he didn't receive. I wish you knew that some people, after they fall, they still receive nothing. Only receive falling. Is it not receive? I tell young ministers, when you first start, it's shocking you. So you feel like everybody was falling in your meeting. You even almost push people down. Don't push anybody. If you want to see the power of God work fully, avoid the gimmicks. Because once you have embraced gimmicks, God takes the reality away from you. You will never encounter reality if you have done with gimmicks. Because you're just trying to satisfy your flesh. So the real power will far from, because you're already used to gimmicks. So you can't keep doing your gimmick until the gimmick stops working. Because when you want people to fall, when the person doesn't fall, you slide in tackle. So the person can fall to satisfy you. You are not even concerned whether the person received. A woman received so much power into her body that she felt within herself. Within her means in her body. She felt it. Peter didn't know. James didn't know, John didn't know. And she was already about to go. And it was a lot of power. And there was no physical sign on the outside that anything had happened. It was solely a spiritual transaction. He entered her body and she was healed immediately. And it was 12 years flow. Why did Jesus allow her to share so that the disciples can learn about how the power of God works? It doesn't necessarily work with form fear. It doesn't have to be that you play a song and say, everybody keep quiet. That's a preacher thing. If Jesus needed a quiet environment all the time, nobody would be able to. When I say quiet now, quietness is in two dimensions. The noise of the environment and the noise coming from men's hearts. I mean, Jesus has been placed where the environment was quiet, but the noise in the heart of men was loud. When you are Pharisees and doctors of the law, the noise was loud. So it's showing you God's power is so willing to manifest and to heal and set people free that the conditions we give, that's why we say, if you sing a particular song, the Holy Ghost will move. The preacher is telling you, I need that song to minister. It's not the song that the Holy Ghost likes. The Holy Ghost likes the word. I will act in line with the word. Amen. But the preacher likes, hallelujah. You know, I saw a video some time back, and I won't mention him deliberately. And this wonderful man of God that I respect was talking about another minister that ministered in front of him. Said, he didn't even sing, hallelujah. I just saw people getting bam, 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 getting healed. No choir singing, no keyboard. Because the song is for the minister. All works for the minister. Sometimes everybody keep quiet because he needs the quietness to focus. It's not that the spirit needs that quietness. No, no. It's a minister. And yes, it's proper to also honor ministers and flow with their style of ministry. But look at Jesus. This is God in the flesh. A woman received without permission. So God doesn't have to know minute by minute, detail by detail, who is even ready to receive. He is so willing, anybody that's ready can receive. You know, it's not like, has God opened your fire today? Your fire was never closed. It doesn't have fire. This is not his fire, though. What can we do for until today? No, no, it's not like that. The woman came, she received, she would have gone. She had received her healing. Jesus did not know. So it wasn't that Jesus planned that would be a day. She decided the day. The transaction was finished in her heart. Interestingly, by the time Jesus followed Jairus, and they were going, you could tell that Jairus needed persuasion, and Jairus' faith had reached a particular level. What was Jairus' faith? If you come and lay your hands upon her, she shall live. That's his faith. What was the woman's faith? If I touch the hem, I shall be made whole. Enough power to cause sickness to die immediately. So since God's healing power and God's character are the same, we can say when God comes in contact with sickness, sickness dies. Hallelujah. So it cannot be the one peddling sickness. No, never, never. Matthew chapter 14. Do we agree Jesus is God in the flesh? Matthew 14. Look at this testimony again. Verse 34. Matthew 14, verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. It says, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. They had knowledge. So what knowledge did they have? The word that God sent. That's how the knowledge came. The word that God sent. Why is that so important? That is how God shows his willingness. That willingness is extremely important to man receiving. Because the question man usually has is, I know God is mighty. Even demons know that God is mighty. But is he willing? So until the willing part is answered, faith is not established. Until willing parties answered, faith is not established. You know, I ask people this question. You're about to trust God for finances. Do you believe that God wants you to have it? I remember years ago when I was trying to get married and funds were an issue. What gave me faith to believe God for funds was when I was reading scriptures and I discovered in the scriptures that God was more interested in me getting married than I wanted to get married. So I wasn't meant to pray and be reporting to him. Can you see? Can you see? Time is going. Time is going. I want to get married. In fact, a matter of luck. Okay, I need money. You see, marriage is very important. You are threatening God. You know, the thoughts of our heart, they always show up in prayer. Now, think about praying that way and praying this way. Like, you are excited that your father is interested. Does that make you happy? Yes. And it's threatening your happiness. So when you're praying, if he's a responsible father, like most of us are that are already married and mothers, if you have the means of making provision, won't you make provision? There's some of us here, the little that we have, the amount we love on our children, and you're hoping for more. The sacrifices you are making, and you think you're a good parent. How much more God? Who's the true example of fatherhood? Now, if God has the means, don't you think he will make provision? Think about it. Some scriptures should just persuade you. If any man does not provide for his own, especially for members of his household, he is worse than an infidel. He has denied the faith. Who said it? Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God. What does that mean? God is telling you, I'm not an infidel. I provide for my household. That's what God is saying. Now, you are trying to tell that same father, that father, concerning my wedding, please. No. No. There's a prayer that you pray. Or praise and thanksgiving. Father, thank you for supplies. You made available already. I take delivery. I thank you for where it's coming from. Whether it's business deal, whether it's individuals, whether it's people you have raised already, because nothing catches you by surprise. So this one I'm about to do also is not your surprise. The same attitude we have when it comes to, you must be persuaded God is willing. So important. You must be persuaded about God's willingness. Your child is running temperature. When a child can speak, it's better. When they cannot speak, and they're a few months old, and they're running temperature, you know the way you feel, particularly mothers. All kinds of thoughts enter the eyes of mothers. They become afraid, but they don't want to voice the fear. And you're married to a man who doesn't show emotions. You'll be thinking that he doesn't care, too. The way men think is that if both of us panic, it's over. He feels the way you feel. He's not, but it's just like he's not showing. And when it's like you're already getting too much, if he's wise, we just carry the child from you. Me, my child. Or the way you are talking. Because, listen carefully, if for somebody else's child that's that way, guess what? You'll be in faith. Over the phone, now it's your child. You are the one feeling temperature. The child is shaking, the child is coughing. Every food you give the child, you are, I'm actually describing a particular situation. Everything you give the child is vomiting. The little money you have a medical science has come to mind. The temperature is hot. It's not eating it. To make matters worse, the child now convulses. Ah. The devil is in my house. The first thing that should come to your heart is that God doesn't want this. And if God be for me, don't just do things blindly. Be persuaded. You tell yourself, no. This is not the will of God. I grew up when I didn't even know God was watching over me. How much more my child? This is not going to happen. God put you there to take charge of yourself, to take his willingness and stand against every work of darkness and destroy it. All my children, without exception, when we were growing up, I used to practice that. I'll take them. Since I prayed night anyway, I take them on my shoulder. Tell me your body is hot. I pray a simple prayer. I put them on my shoulder. Then I begin to sing. I sing them to sleep. They always wake up well, without exception. They always wake up well. Always wake up well. It's a principle. Because I already know God is on my side. So whatever I need to sort the child, God is backing me up. I have divine backing. Whatever wisdom, instruction I need to be given, at that point in time, it will whisper it in my ears. I hope you understand. So he's not the one I'm trying to persuade. He's the one trying to persuade me of his faithfulness at that time. And if you panic, you won't hear. Because panicking means you have taken your eyes away from his faithfulness. Hallelujah. None of our children will die. They will live, they'll be strong. Sickness and this will not settle upon them. The angels of God will watch over them night and day. Their going out is blessed. Their coming is blessed. No plague shall come upon them. Neither will any evil come near their dwelling place. In the name of the Lord Jesus. There's something about you and I knowing that the Father cares for us. Therefore, the same care he has for your child. You can never love your child more than God loves your child. That's the truth of the matter. You know, a lot of people that become apostate who never had a full revelation of God. It happened because they had experiences they couldn't explain. And Satan whispered, God is responsible. And because they didn't have a full knowledge of God. Look at Mark chapter 1. Look at that man. Mark chapter 1 verse 14. Mark 1 verse 14. These are the where the questions are. And until those questions are answered, we won't be having consistent. Let me say it again. You stretch forth your hands to lay hands on the sick. And you didn't see a immediate sign of recovery. And you were wondering, maybe. Then we come up with all kinds of thoughts. It's like, I've not been praying. Yeah, that's the problem. I've not been praying. Too much about that's the problem. All this about eating that. They say we should fast in church. I'm not fast. I didn't even meditate God's word. That's true. I didn't listen to pastor's exhortation. I've not been listening. I've not been obedient. You look for... You look at everything except the right thing. What's the right thing? You laid hands. You didn't see any results. You step back. Say, I'm coming. You walk up and down. Jesus said, I will lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. He said he will die and he will rise again, and he rose again. If he rose again, then it must be true that if I lay hands, they shall recover. He said they shall recover. I didn't say they will. He said they will. What are you doing? You are bringing persuasion to your heart. Because that's how it comes. He didn't even tell me if you feel your pants burning, they will recover. He said you will lay your hands on it. I say you will lay your hands on the sick. The same way I don't always feel spirit. Doesn't change that the spirit of God is in me. Life is in me now. Why? Because feeling is not necessarily evidence of God's power. You are meant to focus on the right thing and take a focus away from yourself. That's why it's our guarantee and our assurance. And our high priest. He ever lived to make what? Intercession for us. Intercession means what he has done. He makes it available for our benefit. You step back, then you come and lay the hands again a second time. And if you need to close your eyes, focus, close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus. Many times before you finish saying, in the name, something has happened. Transference has taken place now. This is Jesus, the power of God on two legs. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou will, that's the problem. Thou can. If thou will, thou can. What did he need to persuade about? God's willingness. So he said, can. So can does not heal. It is willingness that heals. The can part does not heal. That's why people come in presence of power, they sit before power and nothing happens. Because in their mind, they're estranged because they don't believe that God is willing. They even give reasons why God should not heal them in their own mind. So if you will, you can. Look at what Jesus did. Verse 41. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hands. Listen carefully to this scenario. He put forth his hand. Is there healing power in Jesus' hands? Is there healing power in Jesus' hands? And touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. Did the man's body hear I will, or did his heart hear I will? The word I will, where did it go to? The man's body or the man's heart? The man's heart. Now look at next thing that happened. Look at next thing. And as soon as he had spoken, not as soon as he has touched. No. He touched, power didn't flow. The things we blame God for are on the side of man. You know, years back, I heard this message, can I hear again? It was ministering with a tangible anointing. And the reason why God does those things, so that people who have a problem using their faith to receive on their own can receive by all means. Now, God is so interested in men getting healed. He even put healing in the body in an elementary way onto the youngest, I don't want to use the word dumbest, but I've already said it, can at least receive. When I said, well, dullest, okay, not dumbest, pardon me, maybe dullest. At least no matter where you are, if you're in KG, you get it. A for apple, B for ball, C for cup. You cannot say A for ball. Even the job will stop. wait, say it again. So they will use edit. So to ensure everybody gets it, gifts of healings, the healing anointing, the prayer of faith, anointing with love by the elders. How much more proof do you want to see that God wants people healed? So he said he was ministering by that tangible unction. People were getting healed. And this woman came. He said it was like laying hands on a doorknob. How many know what the doorknob feels like? Very cold, dead, lifeless. And nothing happened. Said he felt it. The power flowed and stopped and went back in his hand. Just continue ministry. When he went and said, she came back again. And he looked at her and said, I already prayed for you. Said yes. Said the first time I came out, I came to see what you can do. Said, did you see it? Said yes. Said what? Said nothing. Said, but now I heard you teach from God's word. And I came now. I'm now here. I'm ready now because I want to receive now. I'm ready to believe and to receive now. He said he barely touched her. The power ate her and she was well. So she came back the first time, just like, let us even see what he can do. That's the wrong attitude. That attitude blocked the power from flowing. Now, Jesus already stretched for his hand to touch this man. But Jesus said, I will. The question mark on the inside opened up his heart. It was answered, opened up so he could receive the power of God. That is a picture of how men have roadblocks on the inside that stops the power of God from flowing into their bodies. Hallelujah. Healing is so easy. It's already available. So readily available. So easy. If I imagine you, just look at Mrs. Fadulo. Never had any funny thought concerning her. I don't speak evil of her. I see her as a saint of God. I see her as a child of God. I see her as someone that has the spirit. I know that God will use anyone who has the spirit to bless me. And I said, there's this particular ailment. If it's easy for me to hold her hands or say that, place your hands on my shoulders and pray for me, I will receive immediately. Why? God has no reason in his mind why I should not receive. In fact, he's not even supervising who receives part time. That's why in coming that day, nobody knows the day of the week it was. God doesn't have healing days. The same way he doesn't have salvation days. This Sunday evening. Wait till Friday evening before you are saved. You may be dead. This is Friday because we don't do crusade starts from Friday evening. This is Monday evening and it's Sunday evening. The angels presently, they are in Mecca now walking. Nobody can be saved today. Wait until. Why didn't you come in the evening? Could I even come to service on Monday? Why did you come this evening? There's no time for you now. I've earmarked all the angels. They are not with you right now. No. So he put healing everywhere. He put it even in the garden of the saints. And when you come together, every one of you. Just let us know that he is willing for us to get healed by all means. Let me say this also. Many times, the reason why faith sometimes doesn't fully find expression when it comes to receiving healing is because we manage many things. You know what that means? Manage many things. A woman was healed of a limp, a sprain. And when she was going, she was sniffing. So you have cold. He said, yes, that's fine. It's okay. I'll take care of this one. It's not a big deal for me. You know what she's doing? She's gotten used to it. So he even called out some cases. Some people are so used to headache that it has become a companion. Yes, I usually have headache towards the evening. It's a normal thing. In fact, it's like for the past 3 years, and towards the evening, it's a normal something. So, but we call out for those who had health issues. Hey, I'm not one of them. It's just headache. What you have done, you have normalized sickness. That's what you have done. So whatever you think you can manage, you are being able to tolerate it is why healing has not come. Because you are tolerating something the Bible calls oppression of the devil. I refuse to have backache. I refuse to have headache. I refuse to have any kind of pain. I do not permit sickness to stay in my body. My body is free. My body is whole. My body is sound. My bones are strong. There's vitality in my veins. The life of God flows through my body. I'm strong and sound in my entire being. There's wholeness walking through me. I'm invigorated by the life of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I will live in health and wholeness all my days. He satisfied my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Anytime I need it and I want it, I simply take it. Healing is the children's bread. It belongs to me. Healing is God's will for me. He wants me in sound health all my days. Hallelujah. That's the way it's supposed to be. That is God's will for you. That is God's will for me. Hallelujah. See, I'm persuaded about God's power. My body is vulnerable to the power of God. My body loves the power of God. My body responds to the power of God. At all times, God's healing power and health and life flows through my being. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Yeah. If Moses under that covenant, and the Bible says that his eyesight was not dim, in that his natural force abate at 120, I still have some years to go. Amen. I'll be standing strong and sound. I have no plans to be using a stick to walk. None whatsoever. Hallelujah. At 80, preaching for 3 hours. At 80, taking Holy Ghost meetings, running up and down. At 90, rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. Running faster than many young people. Hallelujah. That's what I plan to. That's how I plan to live my life. Glory to God. I'll be stronger at 80 than I'm even now right now. That's the plan of God for me. I'll be getting better and better because my youth will be renewed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when it's time to go, I will simply take up my legs and call people and say bye-bye, folks. We'll see you on the other side. No sickness, no disease. Just it's time to go. It's time to go. I think I've tried for you people. Amen. And just wave, you know, just bless who can bless, and then, yeah, that's how to go. And then they are putting you out in the sun to dry. No. Now, before that time comes, say it now. You will have what you say. Amen. You'll be sound. You'll be whole. Hallelujah. There will be nothing defective in your system. All your organs will be working well. All your hormones are working fine. All your systems sound in God, held by the power of God. Hallelujah. I'm preserved by God's power all my days. Amen. All right, we stop here tonight.